The scripture reading this morning is from John, the first chapter, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. His only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he declared him.
John sets forth in this verse of scripture the attributes of the divine word. There are, in the first 18 verses of John chapter 1, no less than 42 distinct descriptions of who Jesus was. And while each of these descriptions deserves merit and study, because if we carefully and prayerfully study these descriptions, we will really get to know just who Jesus was. But this morning, however, we're going to look at just one of these descriptions. This is the description in which John ends his prologue here. Specifically, that Jesus is the one who has revealed the Father. In John chapter 14, in verses 9 through 11, He said to Philip here, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake." In the life of Jesus, we see divine revelation of not only what God's will is for man, but who God is. Now we might ask the question, well, who is God and who is Jesus? As far as we are concerned, as Christians, they are indistinguishable. But answering the question, who is Jesus, it will help us to answer the question, who is God? Jesus makes known to us God by the teaching of the truth. Jesus was a teacher. In Mark 4 and verse 1, it says that he taught by the seaside. In Luke 4 and verse 31, that he taught on the Sabbath day. In Mark 6 and verse 2, that he taught in the synagogue. In verse 6, that he went about the villages teaching. In verse 34, he says that he taught them many things. In Luke 11 and verse 1, he taught his disciples how to pray. In Luke 19, verse 47, it says that he taught daily in the temple. In John chapter 3 and verse 2, he was described by Nicodemus as a teacher come from God. We often emphasize the attributes of Jesus, such as his love and his mercy and his forgiveness and his life of prayer. And we can add to that list many times over. But just how often do we emphasize the fact that he was a teacher? In fact, if you study the four Gospels, you will see that most of the Gospels is devoted to his teachings. We have three chapters in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaching. Matthew 24 and 25, the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is teaching. The night that he was betrayed, and John chapter 13 through 17 teaches his disciples. But it is at least equally important, not just that Jesus taught, but that he taught. The Bible tells us that we are to be imitators of Christ, but do we teach? Jesus was a teacher, which means that God is also a teacher. God has taught us that teaching is the foundation of being a Christian. And in order for us to be able to come to God, we have to be taught. John 6 and verse 45 reads, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard and has learned of the Father comes unto me." See, teaching gets us there. If we are to do God's will, we have to be taught. "If any man willeth to do his will," John 17, verse 7, or 7, verse 17 says, "he shall know of my teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself." To make disciples, they must be taught. This is part of the Great Commission that we read in Matthew 28 and verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Jesus taught God's truth. In John chapter 1, verses 14 and verse 17, it tells us that Jesus is the one who is full of truth and who brings truth. It was also Jesus who said in John 4 and verse 24 that we must worship God in truth. In John 8, verse 32, that true freedom comes through knowing the truth. And that also he was the truth, John 14 and verse 6. In answer to the question from Pilate in John 18, verse 37, and Pilate asked him the question, "Art thou a king?" And then Jesus, he said to him, "You say I'm a king. To this end I have been born, and to this end I am come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. And everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." He taught. But he not only was Jesus a teacher of the truth in his teachings, he was also warnings of the dangers to come. He warns us concerning the sin that is in the world. And sin was prevalent in the world that Jesus walked in, but it is still prevalent today. In John chapter 5 and verse 14, after healing the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus, he said to that man, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." In John 8 and verse 34, Jesus tells us that by committing sin, we become servants of sin. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." And in Luke 13 and verses 3 and verse 5, both these verses he implies and implores us to repent of sin or perish. But it wasn't just sin that Jesus warned us about. He also warned us of the false teachers. In Matthew 7 and verse 15, Mark 13 and verses 21 through 22, he says, "And then if any man say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or lo, there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and show signs and wonders, that they may lead astray, if possible, the elect." The Jews were under persecution and under the thumb of five different regimes in their history. Ever since their downfall, they had been under the thumb of another agency of the world. from the Syrians and the Babylonians to the Persians, the Greeks, and the Romans. They were ripe looking for a Messiah so that they could get back the freedoms that they enjoyed. And we're no different today. When the ills of society start to weigh us down, do we not look for somebody that'll lift us out of that? And just as in Jesus' day, if somebody comes along with a good enough message, they're the one I'll follow. And we're the same way today. We're going to follow whoever we think will get us out of the funk that we're living in. And it does not bode well for society when we put our hopes in a human being and not in God Almighty. Jesus also warns us concerning hell. Many don't realize that Jesus spoke more concerning hell than all the other writers in the Bible. He speaks of it to his disciples in Matthew 10 and verse 28. He tells the Pharisees in Matthew 23 verse 33 who failed to hear his words, heed his words. He tells them, how can you escape the damnation of hell? In Mark 9 and verse 43, he warns all the followers that even the most precious things in life are not worth hell. And if thy hand offend thee, it is better to cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Jesus was not only the teacher of truth. He was not only warning us of dangers, but he was also the forgiver of sins. His mission in his life was to save the lost. His very name implies this. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, or Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, Jesus tells us that they that are whole has no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And then he tells us that he didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. What good would it have been for Jesus to come into this world and have no power whatsoever to forgive sin? Contrary to the beliefs of the religious leaders of his day, Jesus had the authority to forgive sins while on earth. Matthew 9 and verses 2 through 6 is a very good example of Jesus' power, of the power that he's been given. And behold, they brought to him a man of the palsy lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. Up and behold, certain of the scribes said in their minds, this man blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, he said, wherefore do you think it's evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise and walk? But that you know that the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. Then he says to the man sick with the palsy, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. In Luke 7, in verses 44 through 48, Jesus is in the house of Simon, and nothing was done for Jesus when he went in, and there was this woman who everybody knew was not of a stellar reputation. And she did not cease in that time to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and to wipe his feet with her hairs on her head. Jesus forgave her of her sins, which the Bible says, which were many. Those were wonderful things, but brethren, it gets better. Because God has given Jesus the authority to forgive sins today. Matthew 28 and verse 18 tells us that Jesus was given all authority, not only on earth, but in heaven. And this forgiveness that we enjoy today comes through the blood of Christ. Well, can you imagine a world today where every single inhabitant of this world obeyed the gospel? Do you think we would have near the problems we have today? Sure, there's going to be little bits here and there, but there'd be no need for borders. Because the whole world, we'd all be just one big, happy family. We would still have need of some government services. You're going to still need a fire department. You're probably going to still need a police department because somebody's not going to pay a ticket. Or somebody might be a little late for church and be speeding. But can you imagine what kind of a boring job that would be to be a policeman? Poor Barney. Barney Fife would be beside himself. You know, we read sometimes Matthew 26 and verse 28 when we partake of the Lord's Supper. But it reads, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many under the remission of sins." It is this forgiveness that was to be preached in his name by his authority. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27 or 47, it says, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." And if you read in the second chapter of Acts, this is exactly what the apostles did. They began in Jerusalem. So my friends, who is Jesus? He was a teacher of the truth. He was a warner of the dangers that we face in this world. But he also forgives sins. Not only then, but to this very day. If you know who Jesus is, you know exactly who God is. And all of those attributes that we can place on Jesus Christ, we see in God Almighty. Now, there are many today who think God is a very cruel person, a cruel entity. Let me put it that way. All of the problems that we face on this in this life, in this world itself, how can any person that says or anything that says it loves allow so much to happen? Well, God, if he wanted to, could change all that, and he will. He's going to change it all. And when he changes it all, we need to be prepared. Who will acknowledge Jesus today for who he is? And if you're a Christian and you have fallen away and you have stopped believing in him, we pray that this day you will renew your knowledge and love for Jesus. Today. Don't wait. Today. If you're not a Christian this morning, we pray and hope that you will come to know him this very hour. He stands at the ready to forgive you and to remember no more your sins. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that we must believe with all our heart. Acts 17 and verse 30 reminds us that we need to repent of our sins. Matthew 16 verse 16 tells us that we must confess Jesus as the Son of God. Mark 16:15 reminds us that we must be baptized for the remission of sins. Do you believe that? Because that's what Jesus taught. If you do, we want to give you the opportunity to obey. Whether it is to renew your commitment to Christ and to God, or to make a new commitment to leave the old man behind and become a new creature. If anyone has a need this morning, we want to give you the opportunity to respond as together we stand and we sing.